first. We're going to read two passages. First, 14, 1 through 7. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, excuse me, you do know him and you have seen him. And turn also over to Philippians 1:27. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear you, that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel.
A man had been lost and walking in the desert for about 5 days. One hot day he came to the home of a preacher. Tired and weak, he crawled up to the house and collapsed on the doorstep. The preacher took him in and nursed him back to health. Feeling better, the man asked the preacher for directions to the nearest town. The preacher tells him the directions and offers to lend him his horse to make it there. But the preacher said, you've got to be very careful. This horse is special, and it only responds to certain commands. In order to get him to go, you have to say, thank God. And to get him to stop, you have to say, amen. Those are the only commands he'll respond to. So anxious to get to town, the man says, sure, okay. And he went out and got on the horse, and he said, thank God. Sure enough, the horse started moving. A little later, he says it louder, thank God, thank God. And the horse began to trot. And feeling brave and getting used to the horse, he said, thank God, thank God, thank God. And the horse started to run. About then, he realized that he was heading for a huge cliff. And he yells, whoa! But the horse didn't even slow down. It was coming up really quick, and he's doing everything he can to make this horse stop. Whoa, stop, hold on. Finally, he remembers, amen. And he stops 2 inches from the cliff's edge, almost throwing him over the horse's head. The man, panting and heart racing from fear, wiped the sweat from his face, and he leaned back in the saddle and said, oh, thank God. Now, I hope to bring that into the sermon to where you'll understand why I did. When you look at the headlines, you see things like, are Australia's fires a sign of the last days? Growing tensions in Iran may signal the end is near. Rising threats in Russia and around the world are worrying us. The coronavirus is now a worldwide pandemic and has become a national security threat. You see, there's been a really massive surge of prophetic activism regarding Christ's return as being more imminent than ever. And actually, it is. In fact, every day brings us closer to the return of Jesus Christ. But should we be worrying? Should we feel unsure about the future? Should we let this bad news, and there seems to be plenty of it, overwhelm us with fear? Well, let's look at one example of what Jesus said in the scriptures about fear. And in your Bibles, if you want to turn back to John 14, one of the scriptures that Jeremy read, Jesus talks about worry, fear. In fact, let me give you a couple of alternate translations. The Good News translation says, "Do not be worried and upset," Jesus told them. "Believe in God, also believe in me." And the Message says, "Don't let this throw you. You trust God, don't you? Trust me." I haven't counted for myself, but I Googled, and "fear not" is in the Bible 365 times. There are also other references, so I imagine we could probably double that number if you looked at all the references where Scripture tells us not to fear. The Scriptures teach, preach, and beseech us, do not be afraid. I mean, there are commands in Scripture that are repeated many times. And the call to stand firm is another one of those commands. It appears throughout the Bible. Here are a few powerful verses in Scripture about standing firm. And I'm going to reread Philippians 1:27 because it is so important. "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Another important scripture is Ephesians 6:11. "Put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." And Ephesians 6:13 says, "Therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." 1 Peter 5:9 says, "But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world." 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, "Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong." The sure knowledge of Christ's return should motivate us to pursue holiness and keep ourselves pure. You see, we're going to give him an account of every word and every action that we've ever spoken or done, and perhaps even today. Until then, we must have a rock, a foundation on which to stand. With that in mind, I want to unpack a little bit the doctrine of Lolo Community Church that was developed by Gale Pfister and his elders as the church began, and then it was modified 15 years ago with additional verses and scripture references. It is a statement of our belief and a guideline to all who would become members and regular attenders in our church. These tenets of our faith, these are our foundation. These are part of the rock that we stand on. Okay. It worked. The first tenet, and there are 12. By the way, at lolocommunitychurch.org, you can find the electronic version of our doctrine, what we believe. And for those of you that don't have access to that, I have put a couple of stacks on the back ledge there of a printed version of the doctrine, our doctrinal statement. Number one, we believe the Scriptures, both Old and New Testaments, to be the inspired Word of God. And you'll notice that there are Scriptures, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. Without error in the original writings, the complete revelation of His will and the salvation of men. The Bible is the divine and final authority for all aspects of church life. This is a foundation. We believe that this is the Word of God, without error. This is the direction for not only our church, but our lives. Okay. Number two, we believe in one God, Deuteronomy 6:4, creator of all things, Genesis 1, Psalm 135, 3 and 5, or 5 through 9, infinitely perfect, sovereign, all-knowing, and eternally existing in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let me read you a section from Matthew. And the nice thing with having the scriptures in with our statement of belief is at any time you can look them up and look at them for yourself. But Matthew 28:19, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Number three, we believe that Jesus Christ is true God and true man, having been conceived of the Holy Spirit and born of Mary, a virgin. He died on the cross, the only effective and acceptable sacrifice for our sins, according to the Scriptures. Further, he rose bodily from the dead, where at the right hand of the Father he is our high priest and advocate. In Hebrews 4, verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confessions. Number four, we believe that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, to convict individuals of sin, to regenerate the believing sinner, to indwell, to guide, to instruct, to empower the believer for godly living and service. The Spirit is the seal of our salvation, the future guarantee that God will keep His promises. In Sunday school this morning, we talked about that section of the Apostles' Creed, we believe in the Holy Spirit. And we talked about a lot of the different roles that the Holy Spirit plays in our life, how critical those roles are to each of us as believers. John 14, you have to excuse me, I put all these little things in here, and if I pull them too hard, then I have to look at, find the spot. John 14, verses 16 and 17. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you will know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. Okay. Okay. Number five, we believe that man was created in the image of God. Through Adam's disobedience, sin entered the world and corrupted everyone. We are therefore separated from fellowship with God. Only through regeneration by the Holy Spirit can salvation and spiritual life be obtained. Number six, we believe that the shed blood of Jesus Christ and His resurrection provide the only ground for justification and salvation for all who believe. And only those who receive Jesus Christ as Savior are born of the Holy Spirit and thus become children of God. In John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Number 7, we believe that water baptism and the Lord's Supper are observances to be practiced by the church. They are, however, not to be regarded as means of salvation. Number 8, we believe that the true church is composed of all such persons who, through saving faith in Jesus Christ, have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit and are united together in the body of Christ. In Galatians 3:26 through 28, Scripture tells us, "For you are the sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you who as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus." Okay. Number 9. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord and head of the church, that the local church has the right under Christ to decide and govern its own affairs. 1 Corinthians 6, 1 through 4. Number 10, we believe in the personal, premillennial, and imminent coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that this blessed hope has a vital bearing on the personal life and service of the church and its members. Back to John 14, 1 through 3. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Number 11, we believe in the physical resurrection of the dead. "The believer to everlasting blessedness and joy with the Lord in heaven, the unbeliever to judgment and everlasting conscious punishment in hell." And number 12, we believe that only those who are part of the church as described above shall be eligible for membership in Lolo Community Church. It's good to review and remind ourselves what the church that we attend, that we fellowship with, believes, to make sure that we believe those same things. Okay. But what you can take away from this message is important. First, this message also gives us confidence in anything that comes, confidence in the presence. When we don't fear tomorrow, we can have confidence knowing that God's promises and word help us face anything. It doesn't matter whether it's coronavirus or cancer. He walks with us. And there's nothing that should cause us to fear or not have the ability to stand. It also gives us reasons to share the good news. See, our world is full of discouraged and despairing people. Many people right now are overwhelmed by the chaotic events that are happening all around us. But God's word offers good news to them all. And the last is hope for the future. You see, God's people can look forward to a happy ending. Scripture assures us that Christ will come to rule and reign forever. And instead of being a puzzle, it's a panorama of God's truth and hope. But you know, Jesus does want us to be overwhelmed, not with fear and discouragement, but with His grace, His mercy, His plans for the future. This church stands on solid biblical doctrine. This church believes the Bible in its inerrancy. This church believes that we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, need to be encouraged. And God's word is the best encouragement for that there is. I think it's good to review this. Like I said, there are some on the back panel. It's good to review what the church really stands for. Think about the word church for a minute. We're a small part of God's church. We're a building and a group. But we're a small part of the church universal. All of our brothers and sisters around the world are going through a lot of the things we've talked about today. They're going through trials, things that could discourage and cause despair. So one of the greatest things that we can do, and especially in light of all the things that are happening, is first be aware. Shooters call it situational awareness. Everything that's going on, you're aware that DeLon just moved over here. I mean, of course, peripheral vision helps that too. But that's called situational awareness. And I think we need to be that situationally aware that all of these things are affecting our brothers and sisters throughout the world. The other thing that we need to do is understand prayer. The Lord has given us the information so that we understand prayer is powerful. Prayer is effective. God hears our prayers. So rather than have a sense of fear or of stumbling from our rock, let's pray. Let's encourage ourselves through time with God. And the last thing is never to panic. God is in control. He is on the throne. He does not sleep. He does not slumber. He's not going to panic. His plans are going to come to fruition. That should be encouragement for us too. Okay. Be aware of our surroundings. Pray. Don't panic. Stay in the Word. Let God's Word encourage you each and every day. And especially pray for those who are Wuhan, China was the center. And even though that is kind of slowing down a little bit, those brothers and sisters there, they need our prayers. So I would encourage you all, take a look at the doctrine, make sure that you understand it, but to immerse yourself in prayer for everyone around the world. Praise team. Got a closing song?